Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verses 8 through verse 10 as our starting point today. Now, don't let the familiarity of the text put us to sleep. I tell you, if I got old and feeble and couldn't walk and barely could get around, I believe if somebody could get me up in front of somebody, I could preach from this right here and not worry if I'd studied because it's in my heart. This doctrine of salvation, it's a well-worn trail that God's church has preached for a little over 2,000 years, but it never does get old. Never does get tired of hearing about the grace of God. I don't, and I hope you don't either. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 10, and we'll get started today. I appreciate you all being here and pray the Lord help us today. The Word of God says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want to center in on a word out of verse 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved." I want to look at that word today, saved. And that's my title today, saved. I want to look at that word. What got me to thinking about this, as you know, most of you know, my grandmother had died about 3 weeks ago. And I wrote a part of her obituary. Most obituaries make me mad. When I read them in the paper, they'll talk about so-and-so as a member of a church or so-and-so did this or that, but you don't ever hear anything about their conversion. Don't hear the words born again or saved. And so I made sure that I wrote in there that Granny was saved in July of 1939. That's a good old Bible word that I like. And I want to just look at saved today. The word saved means to preserve from injury. I'm talking the word saved without a D. The word saved means to preserve from injury, to deliver, to rescue from danger. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, the Bible tells us this about that word save. The word save, Matthew 1:21. "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the first time that the word save in any form, whether it's save, saved, saving, is used in the New Testament. And it's in a direct reference to Jesus Christ and what he shall do to his people. Now, before I come to the doctrines of grace, I used to say, well, that's talking about the Jews. But then if I thought about that, I thought, well, then that excludes the Gentiles. No, that's talking about His people that He chose in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, the word save without the D on it is something that will be done in future tense. See, it said there, He shall save His people from their sin. Now, these verses indicate that Christ will do something in His time, in the future, to His elect sheep. But once He does this, the word describing what He does is not save, but it's saved. That little ed on the end of that word, the suffix, changes the word from present tense to past tense. Whenever you look at the suffix ed, it always is in reference to something that's already been done. Let me get a drink here. So our Scripture says, "For by grace are ye saved. You're delivered from injury. You're rescued from danger. You're saved." It's already... See, what He will do to every one of His sheep it shall save His people. But when God does that work of grace in our hearts and lives, it, when He does that, we are saved, and it's past tense, it's already been done. You can't add anything to it, you can't take anything from it. And it says, for by grace are ye saved. It's already something that God has done, it's finished, it's final, and you're saved. I don't know how anybody who believes in a work salvation could even preach these verses with honesty, because if they would read it like what they believe, they would say, for by grace, maybe you will be saved if you do this or that. See, salvation is not stipulating on what Chad Johnson does, but it's all determined on what Christ did for me on the cross when He died in my place for my sins. But that suffix changes everything. If you think about that word saved, see, Brother Jim, I was thinking, it's a lot easier to ask somebody, do you go to church? Oh, that ain't much fresher, because about everybody goes to church somewhere. If they go once a year, they count it. You know, yeah, I go. It's a lot easier to say, are you religious? Are you moral? But buddy, when you get down there and say, Elsie, are you saved? Boy, that gets you right down there where the rubber meets the road. Are you saved? I'm not talking about, are you religious? I'm not talking about, are you a church member? I'm not talking about, do you have a New Year's resolution? I'm not talking about, are you going to promise to do better? I'm talking about today being saved, rescued, preserved from injury in past tense form. Have you been saved by the grace of God? Now, I want to give you a little example, and then I've got about three or four points, and I know y'all, a lot of you have been through a lot this week and you wore out, but I want to give you this example about the difference between shall save His people from their sins and for by grace are you saved. If I had this cell phone, I called Brother Jim. I'm heading in Walmart and I said, hey, Brother Jim, man, I found chicken on sale for $1.99 a pound at Dollar Mart, and I'm going to go in here and save $2 a pound. That's my conversation going in. I'm going to go save this money. I'm coming out. Hey, Brother Jim, I just want to tell you, boy, it was really a good deal. I saved $3.50 on this whole bunch of chicken. See, it's past tense. I'd already done it. I'd already went in, made the purchase, come out. It was done. The transaction was done. For by grace are you saved. The transaction's done. Whether you hold out because you can't, whether you hold on because you won't, no, when you're saved, that transaction is done. It's forever settled in heaven, and it's done, it's done, it's done. Thank God. Salvation is a done thing when God does it to you. You don't add to it. You don't take it away. I mean, you're saved. Now, the thing I want to look at first, if we're talking about that we were saved by grace, the first thing is there was a need to be saved. Man's greatest need, fallen man's greatest need, is to be saved by the grace of God. We have physical needs. We have a lot of needs and things that we have to sustain in this life. But man's greatest need is that his sins be forgiven by Jesus Christ and washed in His blood. That's the greatest need that man has. But the very fact that we're saved shows us there was a need to be saved. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past. That's before you were saved. That's when you were still in the shall save His people category. Wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. That doesn't just mean your speech, that's your manner of life, how you live, your conduct. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and what? Were by nature the children of wrath. See, our nature. Some people said, oh, don't drink, that'll send you to hell. Don't commit adultery, that'll send you to hell. That's pagan, that's foreign, that's false doctrine. See, our sin nature is who we are. Our sins are the things we commit. Your individual sins is not your problem. Our problem is our sin nature and who we are, and who we're born into this world with our nature that's against God. We're an enemy of God, and our only hope is that we are saved by His grace. You are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We see in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Somebody said, oh, mankind, there's a lot of Hollywood religions, what I call it. A lot of those actors and actresses or whatever, they've got, they're into that Christian Science. It's not Christian or science. They're in that church of eschatology or Scientology and all these things. And they teach that man is basically morally good. They ought to look at their own crowd and see man's pretty bad. You know, those Hollywood people, they act like they're the elite of our day just because they got a little more money. Most of them are the lowest life people that you tell your kids, don't run with that crowd. They're wicked. They're vile. Don't fool with them. But man is not good. Man is bad. And man is wicked. And man is dead. And he's lost. Romans chapter 3. I'm talking about that because we're saved once He saves us. But that shows we had a need to be saved. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that all under sin. They are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Gets everybody. There is none that understandeth God. There is none that seeketh after God. I tell you what, church, we ought to thank God. When we thank, excuse me. When we think about this thing of being saved, excuse me, we ought to think about how that we didn't seek after God, He sought after us. I can't stand it when somebody says, oh, I found God. You did not find God. God found you. He come to where you were, and He didn't knock on your heart's door and say, can I come in? No, He come where you were, and He so changed you, so changed your heart and nature that it brought forth faith and repentance, and He saved you by His grace. Because none seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Oh, man's in a bad shape. Mankind's in a bad shape. John 3:36, that the wrath, says the wrath of God abideth over you. Those of you that are here today and not saved, whether your age doesn't matter. That age of accountability, I ain't found that in the Bible. I'm going to tell y'all something. There's a lot of things that I was taught that ain't in the Bible. And a few years ago, I just basically, for lack of a better word, I had to say, Lord, just overhaul it all. I just wanted to get gutted of all of it, worm me of all of it. And let's, I mean, I was saved and the foundation was right, but buddy, a lot of that stuff I had built, it was zigzagging on me. But and it ain't perfect yet. It'll get better and it'll get good one day when we leave. It'll be all complete. But I think about that stuff. You know, there's no age of accountability. Man, regardless of your age, if you're not saved, the Bible said the wrath of God abides over you. You can't see it, but above you is a cloud of condemnation. You are condemned because you've not believed on the only begotten Son of God. And then secondly, not only is there a need to be saved, but there's an inability or desire to be saved. A man doesn't have that in himself that he wants God. Romans chapter 8. See, that's pure and unadulterated grace. I used to preach a cheap grace about halfway is the way I used to kind of describe it. This is pure grace. Romans 8, verse 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The unregenerated man is an enemy of God. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a sodomite. I'm not an adulterer. I'm good, da-da-da-da-da-da. But if you're not saved, friend, you are an enemy of God in your heart. For it is not subject to the law of God. Hinge on them verses at the end. Neither indeed can be. Man has no desire and he has no ability. Somebody said, well, how can you be responsible for something that you don't have the ability to take care of? I said, I'll give you this example. If I go out here and I run up $150,000 worth of debt on 10 credit cards, and they all come in, they say, you got to pay them. I'm responsible because I run the debt up. I'm responsible, but I don't have the ability to pay it. See, you can be responsible for something, and you are as a sinner, because in Adam we all fell, and he represented us all, and we all fell in him. You can be responsible and have a responsibility for something, but not have the ability to do it on your own. Same way with that credit card deal. You're responsible. They're going to send the letters to you saying, pay, and you've got to pay or file. But I'm saying that you can be responsible for something and not have the ability. That's the way it is with your salvation. See, that's why I'm so thankful. And I think some of us that have been around sound doctrine maybe all of our lives, or at least more sound, and we've been growing in grace, we get accustomed to it. But I'm so thankful that God saved me. I'm so thankful that He put me in a Baptist church. I'm so thankful that He gave me the Word of God that I can learn and grow. There's people who have no idea about things I'm preaching today, and they call themselves saved, they call themselves Baptist, but I'm telling you, you don't say, well, you just need to turn. I've heard people say, oh, you just need to mend your ways. You can't mend your ways. And if you could, it wouldn't last, because salvation is not of you, it's of God. So man has no ability to get to God, says he can't in Romans 8, and he also has no desire to get to God. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, everybody's got a little spark in them. You ain't got no spark in you. John 3, I want to look at verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Some will say, well, I don't believe in that sovereign grace because, you know, I just can't believe God predestines anybody to hell. Friend, if you go to hell, it's not on God, it's on you. Because if you don't believe on the Son of God, you're condemned already. Just because God chooses to save a remnant and the others are not chosen in Him, you still love your sin, you still want your sin. You were represented by Adam, the first Adam, and he plunged us all into sin. And I'm going to say that the condemnation, the reason that you don't believe, is because you're condemned already, because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light, that's Jesus, is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. In our unregenerated state, we hated the light of God. Friend, we are enemies of God. We hate everything about God. Oh, we don't mind putting religion on. I told somebody one time, I said, the Catholic Church is the best. It's one of the best places a lost man can go and feel good about himself. It gives him something to do. You go down there, let the priest burn incense and do his cross and throw a little holy water on you and take the communion, and, you know, you can get involved in religious activity. That's the worst thing. But see, men don't hate religion. Men hate the light. They don't hate false doctrine. They hate the truth. Everything is tolerated today in America but the truth. We'll have none of that. But he that doeth truth, verse 21, cometh to the light. He that's saved, that's what it's talking about. You come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are what? Wrought in God. That word wrought means to be brought about. God brings a man to the light. Men hate light. They run from light. What did Adam and Eve, and I've said this a lot in this pulpit, but what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? Did they go, woo, we better find God? No, they were hiding from God. Lost men always run from God. They'll run to religion. They'll run to water baptism. They'll run to AA. They'll run to straightening up. They'll run to good works. They'll run to religion. But they always will run from the truth. But I'm glad the truth come running after me and got me. The Bible says no man can come into the Father except the Spirit draw him. That word draw means to drag. He got a hold of us, and He didn't bring me kicking and screaming. Like Willie Graham said it, when the Lord got done with him, he wanted to be saved more than he wanted his next breath. I thought that's a good way to put it. That's the true in every case, by the way. Not only was there a need to be saved, there's an inability or desire to save ourselves. Thirdly, the only way to be saved is by grace. Back to our scripture text there in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just get this here. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse number 4. Now, I just read there at the end of verse 3 how by wrath we were the children of wrath even as others. But verse 4 says, Ephesians 2, 4, but God. Hallelujah. I'm glad God butted into my life. I'm glad He stuck His nose in there and come to where I was. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. All those us's there is referring to a certain group of people. Even when we, who's the we? The saved. We're dead in sins. He hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward who? Us, through Christ Jesus. The only ones God ever shows kindness to as far as salvation are the us's and the we's. And that's who He's talking about there. It said there that we are saved, S-A-V-E-D, by grace. The first thing I want to look at in that portion of Scripture is, number one, that this saved comes from God. It's what it said there, but God, who is rich in mercy, showed His love to us. God is the fountainhead of salvation. Salvation doesn't begin with what man does. It begins with what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It comes from God. Secondly, and I like this part right here. See, I told a Church of Christ guy one time, and I do pick on them some, but they deserve it. He told me about somebody was saved. I said, look, you don't know if they are saved. He said, well, yeah, they got baptized. I said, saved means it's done, it's in past tense. I said, y'all's own statement of faith says you must repent, you must believe, you must be baptized, and you must endure to the end and live a holy life. I said, that could all change. You could get right down there to the end and just mess up right before you die. And I said, really, if you'd be honest, that's my problem sometimes. I try to be honest myself, and I force people to either be honest or get mad. Most of them get mad. But I said, get honest with me. Y'all could never preach a funeral or anything and really stand up and say they were saved, because you just don't know under your doctrine. But he just got so mad he couldn't even speak. He said, well, I can't do nothing to you. I said, you got it, buddy. It's already been done to me. You can't. You're too late, thank God, for false doctrine to get me, because I'm in Christ and God's been that good to me. But I want to look at salvation. Not only does it come from God, this saved, but it's a present salvation. See, our text is, for by grace are ye saved. Past tense. It's done. It's right now. Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then we see Romans chapter 8. I want to look at this verse. Verse 1. Romans 8, 1. This salvation, see, when we say we're saved, when we preach it like the Bible says, we mean it's been done, it's a done deal. Because see, the Church of Christ and anybody else who believes in falling from grace and the work of salvation, they can't talk about being saved. They can talk about being saved, or maybe I will be saved, but I'm talking about, are you saved right now, flat out, right this instant? That's the kind of salvation God brings. It's instantaneous. It's an automatic work of grace. When He does it, He does it. It says, there is therefore now, underline that if you underline your Bible, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, the Bible tells us there, or He told us in John 3:36, that the unbeliever, that the condemnation of God was over him. But to those of us that are in Christ, there's now, I'm no longer condemned. Right now, there's no condemnation to all those who are in Christ Jesus. At one time I was condemned, but now there's no longer any condemnation. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified. That word justified means saved. It's the same thing. Just as if you'd never sinned. Positionally, I am in Christ Jesus, and it never will be changed. See, that word didn't, the Bible doesn't say, therefore, we are being hopefully justified if we hold out. No. Therefore, being justified, past tense, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can claim these things. Somebody said, oh, you grace people are arrogant. I said, no, you Armenians are arrogant because you're relying on what you do and you're relying on what you might do or could do. I said, I'm relying totally on the grace of God. If there's any hope that I have, it's not in anything Chad Johnson has ever done or could do. I've hung my hopes of eternity on the finished work of the cross and that I'm saved by the grace of God, nothing in me or about me, that God just did it to me and for me. The Armenians are the ones that are arrogant because they're saying, I can do this, I can live this way. Oh, a man's a fool to think he could live good enough to satisfy the righteousness of God. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that what? Loved us. Who's that us again? We know who it is. And well, we just know if it's you. We don't know who they are besides us, but you know what I'm talking about. But He loved us and He washed. See? You say, I'm getting ready to go wash my clothes. They're done. You say, I've washed them. They're already clean. See, all these EDs mean a lot, folks. It's amazing what a suffix changes about a word. It says, who washed us from our sins in His own blood. How could a person ever think that that right there brings salvation? Because they're blind, that's why. Thirdly, I'm trying to hurry here. Salvation, it's not of ourselves. See, you look here in our text in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that, what's that word that talking about? That salvation, that grace, is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We see here that salvation is a gift from God. It's in contrast to works or a wage. See Romans chapter 4, verse 3 and 8. The Bible compares that it's not of works or it's not of debt. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture, and that's what really counts. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. What that's saying is if somebody walks up to you and just hands you $500 and says, brother, God bless you, or sister, God bless you, I love you, you didn't do nothing for it, that's grace, that's a gift. But if you work for somebody for a week and you agreed to do it for $500, then you earned it, you deserved it. See, because you work for it and they are in debt to you till they pay you and then they're out of debt to you. For anybody to believe that you could work to be saved, in essence, you're saying you deserve to be saved. If I work for Brother Mark at the bank cleaning those offices for a week and we agree on a certain price, I deserve that because I earned it. I did something to get it. I worked for it. Salvation, see, is on the other hand, we don't deserve it. We don't want it. That's the reason it is of grace. It's the free gift. See, the Bible talks about that God is the giver of gifts. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. The Bible says, "Who hath saved us," past tense. You ever notice how that "saved" and that "us" and "we" just run together? "Who hath saved us and called us." There's another ED, another suffix. "With a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." I'm going to be honest with you folks. Anybody read that verse and can't believe in the sovereignty of God? If they really tell me that that don't mean that, then I'll say you're one of the dumbest person that I've ever met about the Bible. I mean, how can you get any more plain that He called us, He saved us, and He did it for us in Christ Jesus before the world began? That's just what happened, folks. I didn't write the book. It's just what happened. See, that salvation's not of us. He didn't look down. Somebody said, "Oh, well, God's foreknowledge is based on His foreseeing, Him foreseeing that you would have faith to believe." I said, "Man, that's foolish. Because if I'm saved by grace through faith and that's a gift of God, then God chose us on the foreknowledge of the gift that He would give us and the faith that He would give us to start with." See, my salvation and yours, if you're saved or ever will be saved, it's not one even, a speck of sand of good that God said, "Yeah, that's why I'm going to call Him." No, He chose us for Jesus' sake, and He chose us because He wanted to, and He chose us because He loved us, and that's the bottom line. It wasn't nothing in us. See, not of ourselves, because He said we would boast. If you had one thing to glory in that you had a part of in your salvation, you'd jump up and tell everybody about it. "Oh, I done this. I done that. I come down to an altar. I said the sinner's prayer." That's a bunch of garbage. I used to say stuff about a sinner's prayer. Sinner don't have a prayer. His only hope is that God regenerates his heart. You're not saved by prayers. You're not saved by walking an aisle. You're saved by grace when God regenerates your heart and does that work of grace. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." This is a free gift now. "But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." It's not of anything that I did or would do or could do. Some say you can, they'll say, "Okay, preacher, okay, salvation is a gift. But you can reject that gift." Now, let me give you a human thinking of it. Let's just say you got plenty of socks. Say you got 150 pair and you ain't even opened half of them. And somebody comes in with a gift and says, "I want to give you another pair of socks." You said, "Man, nah, I don't need it." And you could reject that gift. But I want to say this, when it comes to salvation, if Elsie was sitting here suffocating, couldn't get any air, and I had an oxygen tank, and I'm talking, you've held your breath before, it's a pretty, drowning would be a bad way to die. You just can imagine, you're just gasping for air, and somebody says, "Elsie, here's the oxygen, would you take it?" You think, Elsie wouldn't reject that gift, because she's in desperation, and she's needing it. That's the way it is with salvation. When God starts that work of conviction on you, He's got you in such a shape that when grace shows up, you run into grace. Woo! You're running hard as you can go because you've got a need now. He's created a need in you. He's done a work in you. And there's no resisting that kind of gift because you're in need of that gift. And you want it more than you want anything else. Woo! I like that now. I really do. A man will not reject what he must have to survive. You hadn't eaten 10 days, been out in the desert, hadn't had but two drinks of water, and a man comes up to the minute mark there. He won't say, "Well, y'all got Sprite? No, I want diet, caffeine free." No, he's wanting a drink. And when God started working on me and when He showed up in conviction and started changing my heart, and then when that He was done that good work in me, I wasn't asking this or that. I wasn't worried about the hypocrites. It was just between me and God. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I'm repenting." But it's because He created that thirst. He created that hunger in me. And I wanted Him more than anything because He had done that in me. You don't get picky when you're under conviction. There's only one thing it'll satisfy, and that's the bread of life, the water of life. Then lastly, I want to say this: salvation, it's an eternal thing. Salvation is eternal. Hebrews chapter 6. Now look here. It is the Church of Christ. He said, here's the verses that prove you can lose your salvation. They skip. Well, number one, they're lost, most of them. Let's just be honest. And they are spiritual. The Bible's a spiritual book, and you need to be spiritual minded to understand it. But they just pull them out and isolate a verse and this and that. Look how verse 4 starts out. "For it's impossible." That's the whole setup of what he's fixing to say. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come." That's saved folks. "If they shall fall away," it didn't say they would, but he said it's impossible for them to fall away. "But if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put Him to an open shame." Let me tell you what that's saying. It's impossible to lose your salvation. But if you could fall away, you could never be saved again. Because Christ would have to be crucified again and again. I told that fellow, "Listen, every time..." He said, "Well, y'all Baptists got it wrong. We don't believe you lose your salvation." He said, "You're still saved, but you're backslid." So I said, "You're telling me a backslid saved person could go to hell?" He said, "That's right." I said, "Oh boy." I said, "We just wells to quit talking right there. I can't help you, my friend." And that's the truth. The Bible said, "If any man had not the Spirit, he's none of his." You're either saved or you're lost. It's not saved and backslid and go to... I said, where would Lot have went if he had died when he was offering his daughters to the Sodomites? He said, "Hell." I said, "Well, the Bible said just Lot." I said, "Lot was justified. He was saved." He said, "Well," he said, I said, "How do you know where the point of backsliding is to where you went far enough that you're too backslid to make it, but not enough to get there?" They get mad at me. But I just want to know. I want to, they can't handle all that they're... I'll tell you who they like to talk to. People who don't read their Bible, and they can just, "Oh, yeah, that's right. You put the good... somebody who's saved and been in a Baptist church and got the Word of God in their heart, and you can make a blooming idiot out of half of them if you just put the Word of God on them. Just start reading them the Bible. But this salvation is eternal. That's what I love about the grace of God. And that word saved, it's past tense, it's done. John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, we make too many exceptions sometimes to people who don't follow God. I know we can all get away from God. Don't go there with me. I'm talking about these people who make that profession. They never show any interest in the house of God. They never show any interest in the Word of God. And they live like the world. They're as carnal as can be. But we say, "Oh, but they said they were saved." See, they'll accuse you of being a legalist if you preach like I'm preaching right now. I know nobody that's got any sense would say keeping the law saves you, but I believe if you're saved, you'll be interested in keeping the law of God. And when you don't, He'll chastise you, and if He doesn't, then you're a bastard and not a son. And He said, "And I give unto who? Them." That's those sheep. "Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Salvation is eternal. Now, I'll read this scripture here lastly and I close. You know, I was thinking about looking over this last year. I know people sitting in this room right now or in this building had some terrible trials. It's been some rough days in this past year. I might not have had as severe a trial as some of you, but I've had a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of rolling and tossing about things with my grandmother, family problems with that, other things that have come. I've had a rough year as far as those things go, and I'm sure a lot of you have had this too. But I want to read here in Romans chapter 8 as I close about this salvation. Let that good old word sink in today, saved. Saved. If you're saved, you know that it's eternal, that it's in past tense, that God did it for you. And I think about these trials and heartaches that we all go through. I think about those of you that are in the middle of trying times right now. I want to read these scriptures as we close. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, How shall he not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Look at all the us's and them and we's in there. That's talking about us. Who shall? Now, that's where I want to center in on as I close here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'm talking about this salvation being eternal, everlasting life. Shall tribulation, those trials that we fight and go through, is that going to separate me from that saved? No. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. For it is written, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He said, I am persuaded that neither life... No, let me back up. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life... See, when life happens, as they say, the struggles of life, sicknesses come, heartaches come in your family, problems come, disagreements come, financial problems come, when life comes, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That right there encourages me, and I'll give you this example as I close. I've thought about this thing, Brother Jim, of being saved. And all these things mentioned here in Romans chapter 8, that the nakedness and the peril and life and tribulation and trials, none of this can separate us from that love that He saved us with. You say, I was thinking one time, you know, a lot of these old Western movies, the cowboys and Indians, they'll be shooting it out, man, they'll be battling it out. The horses will be riding, man, it'll be dust flying, arrows going, people dying. And when the battle's over and the dust settles, and you look out over the casualties there, and see what's happened. And I thought about a lot of times, Brother Jim, in life we're going through those battles, those hard times. And I mean, the dust seems all around. We can't see what's going on. We just know we're in some kind of tribulation. But I'm glad when the dust settles and everything gets still, no matter what life brought me, no matter what persecution, still saved. Still saved. Still saved. See, when the dust settles, no matter what comes, see, He don't love you any less, Brother Jim, than He did a month ago, though you're going through what you are. He don't love you any less, Brenda, than what you went through this year with your grandson than He did before that. He don't love us any less when He puts us through the fiery trials. But at the end of it, if you're saved, still saved. Still saved by the grace of God. And I want to say, if I don't get anything else across to you, that I'm just so thankful that God saved me. And yeah, it's been a lot of heartaches down the road and on this journey. But I'm still saved. And can't nobody take that from me. Nobody can pluck me out of the Father's hand. I want the girls to come and sing. Micah's going to play for them. And then, Brother Jim, you can close out as you feel led. I'm glad I'm saved. Not going to be. Not hope so. I'm glad I'm saved.